It is March 10th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of Markets Wiki and Markets Wiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. A letter sent by John Vassallo and Dennis Weinman of CoQuest arrived in my email box with the following message to be shared with you readers. As you may know, CoQuest has been involved with litigation with the CFTC for several years over our previous practice of sometimes having entities in which we have an ownership interest take the other side of our customers' OTC block trades in certain energy derivatives without disclosing that fact to its customers. Yesterday, we consented to a motion by the CFTC to settle the litigation. This settlement, made on a neither admit nor deny basis, includes the company's representation at paragraph 33 that the conduct in question began after the Dodd-Frank legislation changed the rules governing certain disclosures and stopped in 2019 when CoQuest learned that it had been misinterpreting the relevant disclosure rule. To ensure that the company has full understanding of its compliance obligations going forward, CoQuest has hired a compliance consulting firm to advise us on compliance and reporting related issues. We are pleased to put this dispute behind us and look forward to continuing to provide excellent service as we have for the last 33 years. China's President Xi Jinping has been confirmed for an unprecedented third term. He was sworn in as head of the state for another 5 years. I just turned 62 years old on Saturday, theoretically making me eligible to start taking Social Security. According to the Wall Street Journal, some people are starting to take Social Security early because they're concerned the program will run out of money and they want to get money out while they can. Social Security is supposedly going to be depleted in 2034. In 2031, I will turn 70 and be eligible for the full Social Security payment. I can understand why some people might want to take the money and run now, as they are depending on Congress to come up with a fix for Social Security and be fair to them. Since I'm going to keep working until I'm at least 70, I'm going to put off collecting Social Security until then and put my faith in Congress to figure it out. Speaking of Congress and old age, a story about the U.S. Senate pointed out that the average age of a U.S. senator is currently 64 years old. It is good to know that there are things I could still do and bring down the average age, if only by a little. My wife Cheryl and I are staying in a retirement community where you have to be 55 years or older to live there, which we both qualify for. My parents bought a place here in 1989, the year we were married, and they spent their retirement winters down here. We are going to buy it from my brothers and the estate of my mother. It appears my younger brother Dave is going to buy the Williams Bay home from my mother's estate, something I thought I was going to have to buy. Dave moved to the Lake Geneva, Wisconsin area and bought a townhouse 18 months ago, so I thought he was settled. But he wants a home by the lake, and our family home meets the requirement. I guess when you spend time in Florida, you start thinking of things like retirement, Social Security, and the like. Florida is called God's waiting room, after all. The Sustainable Stock Exchange Initiative has shared videos of its TCFD 101 and TCFD 102 webinars on YouTube. The videos provide an overview of what climate-related reporting is and why it is important. They also provide participants with the global context and focus on the initial steps of how to address the recommendations of the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, TCFD. Imminent ISSB standards are also discussed. You can view the videos with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a real estate story from the Wall Street Journal. Rush Limbaugh's longtime Palm Beach home sells for $155 million. The roughly 2.7-acre waterfront property was being chopped for $150 to $175 million. The longtime Palm Beach, Florida home of the late conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh has sold for $155 million, according to property records. The roughly 2.7-acre waterfront property was quietly on the market last year, asking $150 to $175 million, the Wall Street Journal reported. The sale is a record deal for Palm Beach, according to property records and real estate appraisal firm Miller Samuel. In 2013, hedge funder Ken Griffin paid $129.6 million for four parcels. My comment, how much karma cleaner do you need for a $155 million property that belonged to Rush Limbaugh? Here's a story from the Financial Times. Smartphones and social media are destroying children's mental health. Evidence of catastrophic effects of increased screen time is now overwhelming. Something is going very wrong for teenagers. Between 1994 and 2010, the share of British teens who do not consider themselves likable fell slightly from 6% to 4%. Since 2010, it has more than doubled. The share who think of themselves as a failure, who worry a lot, and who are dissatisfied with their lives also kicked up sharply. The same trends are visible across the Atlantic. The number of U.S. high school students who say their life often feels meaningless has rocketed in the past 12 years, and it is not just Anglosphere. In France, rates of depression among 15 to 24-year-olds have quadrupled in the past decade. My comment. Terry Duffy may be onto something with his social media is the black plague of our current society. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The financial markets go down the rabbit hole. Investors and the Fed need to keep an eye on speculative positioning and generational bias. By Gillian Tett. Just when you might have thought the financial markets could not turn any funkier, they have. On Tuesday, Jay Powell, U.S. Federal Reserve Chair, indicated that the Fed may raise rates further than expected in order to combat inflation. Two-year Treasury yields duly jumped up above 5% for the first time since 2007, but the 10-year yields barely moved. This pushed the yield curve deeper into an Alice in Wonderland state known as inversion, in which it costs more to borrow money short-term than long-term. By Wednesday, the gap had expanded to a negative 107 points, an extreme pattern only seen once before in 1980 when Paul Volcker, then Fed chair, was unleashing shock therapy. My comment, we need the CFTC to fire up its fax machine and get its data flowing again, evidently. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Former SEC Commissioner Allison Harrison Lee joins whistleblower firm. Ms. Lee, who was acting SEC in early 2021, has joined Cohn, Cohn, and Colapinto. Allison Harrison Lee, a former commissioner of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, has joined a whistleblower firm. Ms. Lee is joining Cohn, Cohn, and Colapinto LLP, a Washington-based law firm representing whistleblowers, the firm said late Wednesday. She will help represent whistleblowers, including those in cases related to securities, commodities, and anti-money laundering laws, as well as those involving problems related to environmental, social, and corporate governance, according to Stephen M. Cohn, a founding partner of the law firm. My comment. How does she know if a whistleblower is not just a catcaller? Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. There was a glitch on our website due to some malicious code, so some of the links in the top three may have not worked for some time. The links should be working now. Our top click story Thursday was ICE's Inside the ICE podcast, CME's Terry Duffy visits NYSE, reflecting on trading futures and the future of trading. Second was John Lothian's commentary on that podcast. CME Group's Terry Duffy gets warm reception from Josh King's Inside the Ice House podcast from JLN. Third was the hack that upended derivatives trading spurs calls for action from Bloomberg. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Reuters. The headline, Main Street investors pressure SEC confront Wall Street on stock plan. Main Street investors are facing off against Wall Street in an attempt to sway the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in its proposed revamp of stock trading. Individuals coordinating online have flooded the SEC with more than 1,300 comment letters, mostly voicing their support on rules the regulator proposed in December that represent the biggest changes to equities trading in nearly two decades. The next story is from Bloomberg. The headline, Regulators sue to stop ICE Black Knight deal. Traders don't care. ICE has, quote, reasonable good chance, unquote, winning in court. Jefferies spread implies market pricing in roughly 40% deal odds survey. The Federal Trade Commission is suing to block Black Knight Inc., but some traders are still betting that the companies will get the deal done. Black Knight shares dropped 2.6% to $59.42 on Thursday, remaining below ICE's $75 offer, but higher than its estimated standalone value, which is around $50, according to a Bloomberg News survey of merger arbitrage specialists and analysts. That means the market is still pricing in roughly a 40% chance that the troubled merger, which is now expected to head to court, will succeed. And the last story is from Bloomberg. U.S. banking system can weather SVB contagion risk, El Arian says. U.S. banks can contain contagion risk and system stress stemming from the turmoil unleashed by Silicon Valley Bank, Mohammed El Arian says. Contagion risk and this systemic threat can be easily contained by careful balance sheet management and avoiding more policy mistakes, El Arian, the chairman of Gramercy Funds and a Bloomberg opinion columnist, said in a tweet on Friday. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.